TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Badlands, the only podcast out there that is 100% chiseled and is part of the Chairshot Radio Network and also on E-Wrestling News. I am Mags, and I'm flying solo again today. And just for a bit of clarification, I'll be flying solo for the next few weeks, probably for the foreseeable future, to be fair, because coronavirus has taken a victim in Mr. Tolley. He's not ill with it, it's just with the lockdown and with his daughter having to be homeschooled and then him working from home. It's just the podcast is the first thing that needs to go. Real life comes first always. So yeah, you'll be hearing my dulcet tones more than Paul's in the next few weeks. But yeah, hopefully it'll calm down and we'll get back to some sort of normality very, very soon. So what that means is I have to have a guest who know how to talk. And I've got one such guest today, one person who means the world to me in terms of podcasting. He was the guy that literally took a punt on me as a fledgling podcaster, and I haven't looked back, and it's all from this guy's support. I've got Chad from View from the Top Rope. Chad, how are you today?
Oh, man. As every time we do a podcast with you, it was not that really big of a punt, man. We knew you were going to be great at it, so it was really just the easiest choice ever. But I'm doing fantastic here, quarantined at the good old US of A.
Yeah, oh, just it's getting worse, this coronavirus, but it gives us more time to podcast.
Sorry, quickly though, no offense to Paul or anything like that, but right now I am thanking God I don't have any kids. Like, that is just no offense to anyone with kids, but it's peaceful in quarantine. If I had kids, I would have to be homeschooling them, and oh man, that sounds like hell. I don't understand how they do math nowadays. It's a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah, I was talking with Paul the other day, and when I was saying, will he be able to record with this episode, and he was saying, no, he's got homeschooling, and then he had to go because he had a poetry lesson to do, and I thought, yeah, I'm glad my kids are old enough that I don't have to do that shit.
Yeah, I'm just glad I don't have any right now. I'm going to wait until this all calms down, then I'll have some kids.
Yeah, 2021.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Chad, after a little bit of scrambling last minute because someone got the topics mixed up, that someone was me, by the way. Don't go blaming Chad. Your opener is who are the Mount Rushmore of people that we should be keeping an eye on for 2020 in terms of wrestling? Who are some of those breakout stars that are coming up in the world?
Oh, yeah. This is definitely a good little Mount Rushmore to start the groundbreaker with. You want to go back and forth? You want me to just do my four right away?
No, just you. I haven't got four. This is all on you, sir.
I forgot. This is all on me. I forgot. I haven't been on here for a while, man. It's, brain.
A year.
Yeah. Jeez. All right. So my four. Number one, I'm going to go with an AEW star who was like a bigger name, but I just never got to see him before AEW really started happening. And that's Darby Allin.
Wow.
I am in love with Darby Allin. I love everything about his gimmick. I love the face paint. He kind of reminds me of like a weird modern day Sting in a certain way. I don't know if anyone else gets that vibe, but I kind of get that weird like Sting vibe. And you know how much I love Sting. So he is definitely one that I have to watch out for. Number two, I guess I'm going to stick with AEW again because she is an up and comer. And I actually saw her win the AAW Women's World Championship in Chicago a few months ago, clearly before the coronavirus. And that's Chris Statlander. Mm-hmm. I love her gimmick, and she is fantastic in the ring. Number three that I'm looking out for, and this is a guy who's actually a WWE star, and that is Humberto Carrillo, because that guy is, even though he seems to kind of be quasi in the doghouse back and forth, I think that he is a great baby face who could be kind of like the next Rey Mysterio, if you will. And that's not because he's just, Spanish-American star or anything like that. he's just a really great lucha libre. So, you know, I think he'd be a next Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
And number four, I guess I got to go with one more woman because I like to go back and forth. Oh, man. Who's another one I should really be looking forward? Man, see, you threw this one at me. So number four, she's not really up and coming. Not many people know about her, though, because she's a big UK star. And it's Bea Priestley. Bea Priestley is fantastic in the ring. And I remember back in her WCPW days when I was watching that on YouTube, and she was just so young. And she just really didn't have it yet. And now she is a badass heel. And she is going to be a force to be reckoned with in the AEW women's division.
Yeah, I watched her recently on the No Fan Monday show that WrestleTalk put on, and she was facing Will Ospreay, her boyfriend. Wow, what a performance. She's an absolute star. I've quickly come up with a Mount Rushmore on the fly. First, I'm going to go with someone who is a big name to people like us who watch a lot of indie wrestling, but to like people who just watch like WWE or AEW, you might not have heard much about him, but it's Ilya Dragunov. I think I think he's absolutely lit up NXT UK, which has kind of been almost like there's a ceiling that a lot of wrestlers can't get through with having Walter as the champion. And I think Dragunov is kind of going to be the person that breaks that ceiling down. Next, I'm going to go with someone who you've seen a lot recently on NXT, but he's actually come through the Evolve ranks. I'm going to go with Austin Theory. I think he has got a very, very bright future. He's just been really, really impressed with me. I haven't seen a lot of his stuff pre-NXT, but what I've seen on NXT, he's fitted right into that kind of style of wrestling. Next is, and like Chad, I'm going for someone British. I'm going to go with someone who I thought would have a stellar year this year, but she's kind of faded out a little bit. But she's still got the age on her side. It's Millie McKenzie. She had an amazing 2018. And kind of, like I said, she's dropped off, but she has been travelling the world and learning under a lot of people's kind of umbrella. So, yeah, I think 2020 might be the year we see a lot more of Millie McKenzie. And then the last one is one that I'm sure that a lot of people haven't heard of, but watching the guy is so, so talented. There's a promotion out of New York called World of Unpredictable Wrestling. It's actually run by Hall of Famer Johnny Rods. And the guy's called John Boucher, and he's been their US and light heavyweight champion for best part of a year. But the guy is so, so talented in the ring. And, yeah, I can see some big companies coming knocking on his door in the near future. So, yeah, they'd be my four of people who people should be keeping an eye out for.
I've never actually heard of the fourth guy at all. So I will definitely be looking him up. Millie McKenzie is a really interesting one because she was really, like on fire for a second. She was everywhere. And then you're right, she just kind of petered out for a bit. So hopefully this will be her comeback year.
Yeah,
if we get any more wrestling in 2020.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she did a few tours of Japan. She did a couple of stints in NXT UK, but I don't think it was kind of her scene. And then with the British scene kind of petering out a little bit, yeah, she did disappear, but I think she's going to be back with a vengeance hopefully sometime this year.
We can all hope so.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Yeah. So let's go into the main topic. It was going to be something else, but I got my topics mixed up and did research on this one rather than what it should have been. But I know Chad's a professional and he could pull this out of the bag. So we're going with the Mount Rushmore of video game series. So that's video games where there've been more than one game in the group, and basically the kind of games that we like to play. So, Chad, what will be the first video game on your Mount Rushmore of video game series?
So I went back and forth on how I wanted to do this list about video games that are like the best franchise and everything like that. And it really had to come down to, it came down to my preference just on what I can just play like over and over and over again. That just brings me so much joy every time. So number one, I have to go with it. It's kind of a stupid series, let's be honest. You don't need to keep buying it every year, but it's Madden. I have been playing Madden since, the late 90s when it first started. And it's just my comfort food, if you will. I can start up a game of Madden at any time and just kind of lose myself for, 45 minutes to an hour in a game of Madden. Probably going to win. If not, I don't really care. But, it's so much fun. And the franchise mode is addictive. Every year, I always have a franchise that I end up playing that goes to, I think right now on Madden 2020, I have a franchise that's in 2039. Wow. And everyone who is in the NFL currently is basically retired. There's a couple guys who are rookies who are still around, but most of the guys are just all created superstars that the game imagined. So now it's all just on me. It's all the guys I've drafted, and it's addictive. I'm trying to up all these stats. I refuse to cheat on the game. You can just go in and max everyone's stats if you want to, but I refuse to do that. I do it the old school way. I make sure my quarterback only throws less than 10 interceptions. It's just addictive. So Madden will be my number one answer.
Yeah, great pick. I was tempted to put on a sports franchise one. I was going to put FIFA on because obviously FIFA is kind of like the American version of Madden. But yeah, the first one I went with is probably, I'd say it's my favorite game franchise ever, and it's Streets of Rage. Yeah, for people who don't know, Streets of Rage is kind of a series of side-scrolling beat-em-ups where they're centered around some heroes trying to rid a city of the rule of a crime syndicate.
Girlfriend get kidnapped in the first one?
In the first one, no one gets kidnapped in the first one. It's three former police officers, Blaze, Axel, and Adam. They're trying to break down Mr. X. It brought in the concept of having to fight each other at the end to face off against the boss. The one where someone was kidnapped was the second one where Adam was kidnapped, and they brought in Skate, who was Adam's younger brother, and a character called Max. And again, they had to take down Mr. X. And then in the third one, they brought in a guy called Dr. Zan, who it kind of went a little bit off jumping the shark territory.
Skate was my favorite character. Skate was so much faster than everyone, and you could do that jump on everyone's head and just beat them down. Skate was the best.
Yeah, and they also kind of brought in this concept of being able to unlock characters. I think there was a character called Roo, where if you could beat a guy up without attacking his pet kangaroo, you could unlock that kangaroo to play with. It's the kind of side-scrolling beat-up that I can go and play at any time, and I know I'm going to enjoy it. And the good thing is that we're getting a fourth one this year, 20 years after the last one was released. And we're going to get back the original characters of Adam, Axel, and Blaze, and we're going to get a couple of new characters, and we're also going to get up to four players able to play local multiplayer. So, yeah, I think my favorite franchise, and definitely has to be the first one on my list, is Streets of Rage. So, yeah, I'll go with that. Back to you, Chad, for your second pick.
For my second pick, this one I had two franchises in mind because I can't feature two zombie franchises on my list, obviously, because that's just too much. Though I love zombie games and everything like that, but I can't have two. So I'm gonna give a quick honorable mention to the Dead Rising series, which is just absolute unbrutalized fun, where you just get to kill zombies for hours on end. And I have done that, believe me. I've got the zombie genocider achievement on every one of the games, which is always like kill 70,000 zombies or 100,000 zombies. And I've done it because I got the time and it's just fun. But the game I'm actually going to put on my list has to be, or franchise, I'm sorry, has to be the Resident Evil franchise, which was my introduction really into the zombie survival horror video game series. And still to this day, my younger brother has one of his favorite memories is watching me and my buddy play the second game and getting so scared when the liquor jumped through the window, when you're getting the king chess piece in the witness or in the interview rooms, that he ran out of the room. It's one of his favorite memories. Brings it up all the time whenever we talk about Resident Evil. But I mean, the entire series is just from beginning to end, how it's evolved. I mean, the second one is my favorite from the originals. I beat it so many times. Hunk is one of my favorite characters. And then 3 is fun. Can't wait for the remake. But then Resident Evil 4 just completely reimagined the franchise in a way. I bought a GameCube just to play that game. Like, literally, when it came out, I went to Best Buy, and I was like, screw it. I'm buying the GameCube, and I bought Resident Evil 4, and that was my plan for the next, 3 weeks. And still to this day, I know where every single treasure and secret is on Resident Evil 4, because I beat it on GameCube, I beat it on PlayStation 2, and then I downloaded it for my Xbox One, and I beat it on Xbox One. And I still just, I just love the entire series. 5 is great. Don't want to talk about 6. But then 7 was amazing. And now the remakes are just so fantastic. Capcom gets what its fans want. And when they screw up with it, they fix it. Yeah. So Resident Evil has to be on the list.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it was one of my honorable mentions. I've always loved the fact that they took the genre and then flipped it, like you said, with Resident Evil 4 and kind of created that whole lot. It was
action survival horror.
Yeah, and it was so unique at that time. There was not a lot of like over the shoulder kind of third person looking games. And yeah, and it was amazing. They kind of went off for me on Resident Evil 5. I didn't quite like that as much. In Resident Evil 6, it was, yeah, that was very, very much a stinker. But
that was
again,
a jump in the shark moment.
Yeah, absolutely. But then again, they changed the game with Resident Evil 7, and that's absolutely amazing. And I love playing it on VR because you feel like you're in, that's you. You feel like that's you looking through that house and getting attacked by that crazy, crazy family. And like I said, the remakes are, wow, they're just amazing. That's how you do a proper remake.
No, exactly. And you can't even just call it a remake, because it's, as someone who plays Resident Evil 2 enough times, I should be able to just run through the remake, because if they just made a straight remake, just remastered it. But no, they redesigned things, they changed it, they brought in things from... My favorite thing is that the entire beginning puzzle where you have to put all the things into the fountain to go in that secret room, that's actually from the Resident Evil, I want to say, Outbreak or Revelation series, where they changed up the police station, and that's how they got out of this police station. And that's totally different from the original game, but it's just so much better. It feels just more right in some way. I don't really know how else to explain that.
Yeah, great, great pick. Let's go to my second pick. I'm tempted to leave probably the best two for last, so I'm going to actually go with Uncharted.
Ooh.
As people who've listened to this podcast will know, I'm a massive Sony fan. I've never ever owned an Xbox, and Uncharted obviously being a Sony exclusive, developed through Naughty Dog. Yeah, just absolutely amazing games. You follow this treasure hunter Nathan Drake as he kind of
scouts. Nathan Blade would be a good name though too.
Yeah, that would definitely be a good name, as he scours the world for these historically important artifacts. But it also kind of, he's finding out stuff about his own personal history, and we find out that he was an orphan and that he's actually a descendant of Sir Francis Drake, and he kind of attempts to trace Francis's past around the world to find these amazing treasures. What I really like about the game is the realistic graphics and the fact that it's set in real world places. I think they've been in Panama. We've had times in the Amazon rainforest. We've been in China, Tibet, Istanbul. They've even dropped by London, Colombia, Paris, France, and then obviously the amazing desert scenes in Uncharted 3. And then we've also meet his cast of friends in the show. In the game, sorry. We have the lack of Sulla, who is his best friend. We've got Elena and Chloe, who's kind of a sassy character. But yeah, the game's absolutely stunning graphics. Really, really fun to speed run as well. And a lot of these games are picked because I do enjoy speedrunning. Quite a glitchy game if you know what you're doing. But yeah, absolutely brilliant games. And now it's been adapted for an upcoming film, I believe, with Tom Holland playing young Nathan Drake and Mark Wahlberg playing Victor Sullivan. So yeah, my second pick is Uncharted.
Isn't that the movie that's been delayed like 15 times now because like they hate the script every time and it's just not looking good?
I think they've been making it since like 2012.
Yeah, that's the one.
Probably Mark Wahlberg were probably going to be Drake, and then his age that much, they've just switched him over to Sully.
All right, you're the old guy now. But yeah, I mean, Uncharted was always, I've been an Xbox guy and everything, but Uncharted was always the game that seemed to show just how great the PlayStation could be for its graphics. I mean, PlayStation 3, when the first Uncharted came out, it was like, whoa, that's a freaking movie. And then they just kept getting better and better. And I mean, Naughty Dog is just such a great, great studio that's produced so many great games that it's not shocking that you have Uncharted on your list.
I mean, the train sequence in Uncharted 2 alone, where you're climbing up the train that's gone off the cliff, it's outstanding. And like I said, it's like watching or playing a movie. So, Chad, let's go to you for your third pick on your list of the greatest game series.
Well, as you said that you were saving your best for the last two, I also saved my favorite two for the last two series. And I really went back and forth on which order I want to put this in, because they really are like 1A and 1B for my favorite video game series of all time that I just constantly replay over and over. So I'm going to have to go with this one first. And it is the Final Fantasy series, because I love RPGs. RPGs have always been my thing. I remember getting Final Fantasy VII, and it wasn't right when it came out. It was only $20 at Walmart. And I remember begging my mom to buy it for me and just being like, Mom, I'll be cool. I'll do anything you ask. I clearly didn't, because all I did is play the video game. But I said I would. And she bought me the game. And I remember reading that manual, because after we got it from Walmart, we had to go shopping for like another hour and a half. And I just read that manual for the next hour and a half, cover to cover, back when video games had manuals. And Final Fantasy VII, one of my favorite games. And then the next year, Final Fantasy VIII came out, and I remember getting it for Christmas and did the same thing, except for that time I read the manual for 9 hours because we were at Christmas all day the next day. So I didn't get to play it for 24 hours after I got it. But then I played that game for 2 weeks straight till I beat it, and it was great. And since then, I've been a Final Fantasy addict, and I played every one of the games except for 11 and 14 because those are online. I don't play those ones. And I've beat every single one of them, and I've replayed them all. I own the remastered versions. I can't wait for the remaster of Final Fantasy VII. I mean, basically, video games are just living up to my nostalgia right now. But yeah, Final Fantasy is one of the greatest video game series of all time. Constantly changing and evolving. Once again, it always makes itself relevant, no matter how it has to do it. Sometimes it's relevant by making itself nostalgic. Sometimes it's relevant by being futuristic. It's just a fantastic series that was also named because a company was going to go under and he thought it was going to be his last video game. And now we've had 15 Final Fantasies.
Yeah, and many, many more offshoots.
Yeah, Final Fantasy Tactics, one of the best games ever, P.S.
Yeah, great pick. I think Final Fantasy VII is a game that introduced 90% of the Western world to Japanese RPGs, and they're the kind of games that make you want to go back and play the ones that you've missed. They were that good. I was a bit worried about the remake. Obviously, so many rumors come out nowadays about games, and I heard that it was going to be episodic and that it was going to be on multiple discs. And then I downloaded the demo. Oh my god, that game! It's like heaven in a game. They've really brought it up to the 21st century graphics, but they've kept the essence of what Final Fantasy is, and it was just stunning to play. And I've gone through that first like section where you face the scorpion about a dozen times since. It's absolutely amazing.
Nothing wrong with that. I've been replaying the original Final Fantasy VII on my Xbox One just for fun.
Yeah, just to chocobo race.
Mm-hmm. Hey, man, getting a gold chocobo as a kid was the greatest event of my life because that was the most impossible task I'd ever had set before me back in the day, was trying to get these freaking gold and choke, or the green and the blue chocobos. Then the mate to give me a black chocobo. That took me, not shitting you, at least 3 weeks of just constantly trying over and over. It was horrible.
So let's go for, I've got two left, and the two of not only my favorite franchises, but two of probably the best gaming franchises ever. I'm going to go in third place though with Grand Theft Auto. I think it's a game series that has not only gone through generations of consoles, but also gameplays and generations of graphic styles. We started with like a top-down kind of 2D universe, and then it blew the world away with Grand Theft Auto 3 and that kind of open world 3D graphics that just was just amazing at the time. Then we had Vice City and San Andreas, which were kind of like pockets of an era almost, with amazing soundtracks, quality over the top gaming. And then the Rockstar, being the team that they are, did it all again with Grand Theft Auto 4, really brought that HD universe in. We got massive metropolises to play in, big storylines, expansive plots, and some of the best looking vehicles in gaming history. And then we come up to today with Grand Theft Auto 5, which is nearly 10 years old, and it's still one of the most popular games on console, one of the most popular games on Steam. Like I said, it's had amazing soundtracks. We've had some brilliant characters from the games. We've had Michael, Trevor and Franklin from GTA 5. We've had Nico and Roman from GTA 4. We've had the Vance brothers from the Vice City games. Since GTA 3, ratings-wise, the series has got almost perfect ratings across the board ever since. And it's the most financially successful game in the history of gaming. And they've sold nearly 250 million copies worldwide. And like I said, GTA 5 now is still one of the most profitable games nearly a decade after it's been released. So, yeah, I think I would be very remiss if I didn't put on Grand Theft Auto on my list. So, yep, my third spot goes to Grand Theft Auto.
See, Grand Theft Auto would be one on my list, except, I mean, I love the games, don't get me wrong, but I haven't seriously played one since. I played probably halfway through Grand Theft Auto 4, and then I just stopped playing them. And I don't really know why, I just kind of did. But, I mean, Vice City and San Andreas are two of my favorite games. And I remember playing the original games on PlayStation, and just driving around from that top-down camera and getting the flamethrower was the best weapon because it had, like, a 25-foot range on that game. You could, like, toast an entire block at once and just spin around in a circle. But, yeah, I can't give you any credit for picking the Grand Theft Auto series. And I think I think Tetris still beats it out for the most-selling video game of all time. But it's just weird because there's a lot of people who say they invented Tetris.
Yeah, that's a minefield to go in. I think for me, going back to the original Grand Theft Autos, I think the best part was running over a bunch of monks in a row and getting the Garanga. But yeah, Grand Theft Auto, whenever there's a new Grand Theft Auto game, it's almost like a Hollywood event. So yeah, I couldn't not put it on my list. But let's go back to you, Chad, for your final pick.
Nico, let's go bowling.
That was the most annoying.
That's why I quit playing Grand Theft Auto 4. I won't lie to you. I got so sick of him calling me all the time.
Nico, let's go bowling.
You could, I didn't want to go bowling. You could let him get shot at the end of it. So.
Yeah, but then you had to just go pick him up. Well, at the very end, but during the game, if he got killed, you just had to go pick him up from the hospital. It was annoying as hell. I tried to kill him off, and then I'd have to go pick him up from the hospital. Okay, though, on to my final pick. And as I said, this is, I think, the greatest video game series of all time, and also my favorite. I'm currently, once again, replaying through them because I don't care. I love them this much. I've played every single one of these games from beginning to finish at least probably 10 times, and it's the Metal Gear Solid franchise. And I could include the original Metal Gear games from the original Nintendo and Super Nintendo and all of that. I've played those as well, they don't hold the same place in my heart, because while they're great, they're just, they're kind of backstory to it. And once you get to the Metal Gear Solid series, it's really where everything came together in Kojima's brain for this massive, intricate, confusing, weird, and insane plot that stretches over the course of, I think in game it's, you know, 10 to 15 years, at least, if you don't count the original Big Boss series, like if we go back to MGS3. But from MGS 1 to MGS 5 or MGS 4, it's like a 10-year span. And then you get MGS 3 and MGS 5 in there that also just tie everything together. And the plot points in this game will blow anyone's mind. It's Hideo Kojima at his absolute greatest, telling a story that you can't even imagine. You don't even understand the twists and turns half the time because you have to look it up. And that's not even talking about the actual espionage gameplay that just revolutionized everything. When the first Metal Gear Solid 1 came out on Sony PlayStation, the sneaking factor, the hiding under boxes, the climbing through the vents, the finding the guns, the trying not to kill people and not setting off the alarms, and how amazing it was. And just, it got better and better and bigger and bigger and grander and crazier. And the characters, Fat Man, Vamp, Big Boss, Ocelot, Solid Snake, Liquid Revolver, the characters themselves are mind-boggling. It's better than any movie you could ever experience, and you kind of play through it. It's really, you know, it's a linear story. You don't have choices, but you still feel like you are the main person creating this crazy-ass storyline. And that's why it's the greatest franchise of all time.
And it's hard to disagree with that, so much so that it was actually my first pick as well. I can't say it any better than you. I think for me, as I've aged with this series, I've kind of like understood the intricacies of Hideo's storylines, and it goes a lot with kind of Illuminati styles or New World Order. We like groups like the Philosophers, the Patriots, and kind of like how he wanted the character of Big Boss and Solid Snake to kind of break away from that and be free from that being controlled. Yeah, I absolutely love the series. And if you want to go chronologically throughout the times, throughout the story, there's actually, even though there's been 22 full releases of the game, there's only 9 what actually fit in. And like I said, from Metal Gear Solid to the Guns of the Patriots, number 4, that's like a 10-year span. But the actual storyline goes all the way back to 1964, which is like a 50-year span altogether. So, yeah, it's really has spanned the generations. And fun fact, this series was the reason I got a PlayStation Portable. When the PlayStation Portable was released, I got one in Britain from Japan, because we didn't get it for like about a year after it was actually released. And the only game I had to play for a full year was Metal Gear Acid, which is
Acid. Nice. I wasn't sure. I was Peace Walker or Acid. I couldn't remember which was the original on there.
Yeah, it was Metal Gear Acid, then Metal Gear Acid 2, then we got Portable Ops, and then Peace Walker. I have played every single game in that franchise, apart from, I think, the iOS version. I think there's a game called Metal Gear Solid Touch or something like that. I've never played that, but yeah, I love that. And it's the kind of like Final Fantasy, you can go back and keep playing them again and again and again, and kind of, they're a different game because you can either go in and you can kill everybody you see, or you can sneak and never get caught, and you try and collect all the emblems. Yeah, I absolutely love that series. It's
really hard for me to ever go on the killing spree, though, for some reason. I don't know why, if it's because it is just like supposed to be a stealth espionage game. But no matter how hard I try, I could just really never bring myself to just go on that mass murder. I got to sneak everywhere, hold people up, knock them unconscious. And once I get the M9 and just can trank people, it's over. The game's just done.
Yeah. I think for Metal Gear Solid 4, I went through that game, it must be about 30 times, to get all the emblems. And when it actually got released, I took a week off work because I wanted to play it and watch all the cutscenes without skipping. And I actually played the first run in one sitting. No toilet breaks, no nothing. And yeah, that was brutal. But yeah, I love that series. And it had to be number one. It's simple as that.
Fun fact, since you just said that, when MGS2 came out, I did not own a PlayStation 2 at that time yet. And I had to rent a PlayStation 2 from my local video store. And I rented a PlayStation 2 and Metal Gear Solid 2. And at that time, you could only rent it for 2 days. So I also played MGS2 from start to finish without turning it off. I didn't have a memory card or anything either. So I couldn't save the game. And I just had to sit there and play the game. And I remember falling asleep during the end credits. And I actually missed the like after credit scene where they call in and you hear more information about everything because I fell asleep during that. So I didn't know about that scene for at least another 6 months till my buddy bought the game and played through it and then asked me about that. And I go, what the hell are you talking about? I didn't see that. But just a fun fact for you.
Brilliant. So two amazing Mount Rushmores then, two quality sets of game franchises. Chad has Madden, he has Resident Evil, Final Fantasy, and obviously Metal Gear Solid. And I have got Streets of Rage, Uncharted, GTA, and also Metal Gear Solid.
Hey everyone, it's your girl, the Queen of NE, and I'm so excited to tell you about my show, Queen's Court. It's an awesome, fun, super interactive podcast led by yours truly, bringing you some awesome interviews, some great collabs, and just enjoying discussing our beloved sport of wrestling. You can find me on Twitter at The Queen of NE, on Instagram at XTheQueenOfNE, and of course my podcast, Queen's Court, on Podbean, iTunes, Spotify, anywhere podcasts are out. I encourage you to come take a listen to something new, something fresh, and something that you can only have when you hold court with the Queen.
Ratchad, what I would like from you now, and again, I'm going to be springing this on you, because normally we have two co-hosts, and one has suffered to coronavirus, the biggest heel in the world right now. I'd like you to come up with a topic for a future guest. What would you like to hear a Mount Rushmore on?
That is fantastic. All right, a Mount Rushmore that I would love to hear about is the Mount Rushmore of 90s animated superhero TV shows, because the 90s were the greatest time ever for animated superhero TV shows. And you just, I mean, if you look into it, there was so many, and I'm talking like Street Sharks. I want to hear someone put Street Sharks on their Mount Rushmore, because if they don't, they're a fool, because that was the shit.
Instantly, I'm thinking, how about, was it called Swamp Thing?
Swamp Thing, yes, there was. Yep, Swamp Thing back in the day. That was a good one. I mean, you have the entire Marvel. You have X-Men, you have Spider-Man, you have, and I mean, I'm thinking like Darkwing Duck, Duck Day. There's so many like great things you could go with. Darkwing Duck, I was just watching the other day on Disney Plus. So that's really what I was thinking about.
That's an interesting topic. Yeah, can't wait to research that one. Thank you very much. Let all the Badlands listeners know, Chad, where they can find you on social media, where they can find View from the Top Rope, Visionaries Wrestling Network, all that stuff.
Oh, man, I usually have Diesel do this stuff for me. On Twitter, though, I am at View from Top Rope. You can check out View from the Top Rope each and every Thursday on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. And that is found on basically every major podcasting platform, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Google Play. I mean, just type in Visionaries Wrestling Network. You'll find the podcast you want to listen to. It's great stuff. Make sure you send in questions. If you want to, you know, hit us up on Twitter for the Visionaries Wrestling Network, that's at VizWrestleNet. I don't think I have anything else to promote right now.
Not got a new show coming out very soon.
I do have a new show coming out, but I haven't started that Twitter yet because I am, you know, I'm quarantined. So now I'm going to have the time, though. So don't worry. It's happening.
It's definitely happening. You can follow me on Twitter at DJ Kirby. You can follow my mysteriously missing co-host, Paul at Raincounter. Follow the show at Badlands Pod. Get involved, guys. Tell us your Mount Rushmore of the best video game series in the world. Tell us your Mount Rushmore of the stars of wrestling who we should be keeping an eye out for. But remember, when you're formulating your Mount Rushmore, there's only one rule, and that is you should always use your head.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.